Welcome to the Evocative Exchange, where we meet with go-getters who have that X factor, a way of meeting today's challenges with bold and evocative solutions. We'll share what keeps these experts thinking, thriving, and feeling inspired in design, entrepreneurial life, healthcare marketing, and beyond. Today on the Evocative Exchange, we welcome Vlad Castillo, serial entrepreneur and healthcare expert.
Great to be here, Donna.
And I'll tell our audience a little bit about your background. With 20 years of experience in healthcare, Vlad has developed expertise in strategy, entrepreneurship, digital and modern marketing, life science brand marketing, business growth, and optimizing the patient and customer experience. These are definitely topics that our audience is very interested in. And Vlad, I'm excited to have you give us a little bit of a level set about where you are today and how some of those experiences in healthcare marketing prepared you for what you're currently doing.
Sounds great, Donna. Right now, what I'm doing is I'm running a couple of different businesses and partnering across with different vendors and different clients across the board with that particular emphasis. The first one is I'm running a consultancy that we work with pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies, and really other industries as well that focuses on what we call modern marketing. And that includes omnichannel, that includes customer experience, obviously for improving customer experience, but it's digital, omnichannel, everything that has to do with brand marketing and everything that touches the customer. And that's sort of one pillar for that customer experience. The other pillar is patient experience and running a startup biotech to be able to come up with better ways. My background is in engineering and analytics, and then I moved into marketing. With all of those foundational aspects, really trying to come up with different ways, different approaches for patients to be able to have improve efficacy and improve safety, both, if that's possible, right? So we're looking at possibilities. And again, the two pillars are customer experience and patient experience. And really, those are the things that I'm focusing on right now.
Well, I mean, you're coming from that big pharma experience. And so, I mean, I have to wonder, what are some of the projects that you worked on or some of the light bulb moments that you had that made you say, I'm going to take all of my energy and background and put it into this customer and patient experience module?
For me, it hit me like a lightning rod with what patients were going through when I started to launch, was part of the teams that launched products and therapies that were new. Specifically immunotherapy. When we started looking at developing products for immunotherapy and launching those products for immunotherapy, it was huge, right? Because this is something different, something new. And not only did we have to educate patients, but also HCPs, oncologists, everyone. We needed to really try to educate people and have them get a new understanding of, wow, there's something different. This is not chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is foundational, and that's great. But now we're moving into other realms, and the educational piece was just so important across the board. So for me, having patients truly understand, having HCPs truly understand what we were trying to do was the key experience for me. I noticed the people who really got it were the ones who actually now moved to that next level. So for us, it was getting people in the, I would say, the knowledge continuum, right? Instead of getting someone from point A to point Z, sometimes we try to do that, right? Sometimes we're going to say, hey, you know, let's just put everything in front of them. Getting them to part B, from A to B, or if they're in part D, getting them to part E, right? And just moving them along the educational continuum. That was really, really important for me. And I think With the experiences that we've established and the successes that we've had, it's just been tremendous. It's just been tremendous. And being able to adapt to everything that's happening in the marketplace is probably the other item that's important too.
Yeah, I think that being inside of the machine and seeing what the needs are, knowing that, you know, pharma wasn't built that way to take that step up from chemotherapy to the next realm, right? Because chemotherapy is the end all be all. And I think that it's really great that you were able to look forward and look wide and broad and say something really dynamic needs to be developed to get people over that bridge, right? So that they can take this immunotherapy and they can exploit it just as wide and far as chemotherapy, obviously for the ultimate goal of saving lives and having better patient outcomes. And so one of the things I wanted to ask you was, like, what did it take for you in your own mind to make this huge transition from being sort of inside the machine to saying, no, I'm going to come and ride around it. I'm going to surround it with support. Like, how did that happen for you?
So how it happened is because of the fact that when you're working in big pharma, when you're working in this environment, you get to work with so many different people, very, very talented folks, and people from different backgrounds, different perspectives. And so it becomes a machine, right? To your point, it becomes how everything fits together was very important. So for me, I truly wanted to come up with, as an engineer, I go back to my engineering days. What we're taught is, yeah, we're taught physics and we're taught everything has to do with math and all of that, you know, geeky stuff as an engineer. But at the end of the day, it's about problem solving. And so what I saw was this big need or huge need of really providing that support around the core team. You have the core team and then you have other teams that are, you know, basically coming in and out of that core team as support staff, support situations. So really I wanted to have or build something that can provide that support, and not so much support from an overview level, but more deep support, having deep expertise across different areas. So for me, it was more of a, hey, you know, patients need education. Customers need education. We need to be able to get them to better customer experiences, patient experience. The core team has just so much on their plate. They have meetings every day, all day long. And there's only so much you can work on. You should focus more on strategy. And then you have folks who work more on operations and execution. But really providing that support around them to really get them to that next level, as I mentioned earlier, was the big aha moment for me.
Well, and it's funny because I had to wonder, like, knowing about, you know, your 3-month sabbatical back in 2017, was that something where you sort of considered all of the possibilities and just sort of like really took stock and said, what is it going to take for me to provide these structures? Again, coming from that engineering perspective, process is huge, right? And did you dream this up? You know, like, tell us a little bit about that experience. I not many people take a sabbatical, and I think maybe they should. So I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
I mean, it's a great point, Donna. I truly recommend it for people. You have to do that. I should have done it after college, right? When you hear, hey, let's go backpacking after college. I didn't get the chance to do that. But I had the opportunity after I sold my first company to actually go ahead and do something like that. So there should be some time window for each individual, for each professional to say, you know what? Let me go ahead and take a sabbatical. It could be 3 months. It could be 6 months. It could be a month. The point is that you want to take a step back. At that moment in time, I had worked for big pharma in the client side. I had worked in different areas within the big pharma, whether it was operations, whether it was in the brand marketing area, and anything marketing support, everything around that organization I had seen, and I truly learned a lot from that. I also worked on the supplier side, on the vendor side. I wanted to really see it from that perspective. So, and when you're looking at those two areas, one from the inside and one from the outside, I said, you know, this is the time for me to go ahead and take that step back, or better yet, take that step up to this, as far as the 30,000 foot view I can get as possible. And it was important because you get to meditate, you get to think about things, you get to really get to breathe. And when you breathe and you just stand still and you stay still, that's when magic happens, right? That's when things flow more naturally into you, and you're like, yes, that's what it is. And that's really where I found myself, honestly, because I had done so many different things in my career. I could become a specialist and expert, or I could become a generalist, and I can continue growing within Big Pharma as an executive. And that's great. All of that is all wonderful. For me, I wanted to take that step back. And when I took that step back or took that step up, I got the actual, it hit me very, very, very much in that, yeah, this is what I wanted to do, something different. I wanted to do something completely different than just go ahead and move to something else.
The perspective is so important. Again, the engineering background coupled with the inside experience, and then taking the time to really think, where am I going to make the biggest impact? And the funny thing is, you didn't just do a startup. You didn't just do one company, but you got involved in numerous companies. And I think that's really interesting. I'd love to find out, you know, how that manifested to you from that first leap that you made, and then how that coupled into sort of the multiple relationships that you have now.
It's interesting. I started out, when I left Big Pharma, I started out really driving and running an analytics company. And the reason why I wanted to do the analytics company was because that's where I started. I went from engineering into analytics, into marketing. That was my journey. Everybody has their own journeys, right? My point to folks is, you know, don't forget where you came from, because that makes you different. So for me, it was analytics. And I went back and I said, you know what, how do I apply analytics into the service? And really, it became that. And I saw that deep expertise in analytics was important. But then this is what happened, Donna. Then I realized analytics is just one piece. There are other pieces. And so once I moved out of analytics and moved on, I really wanted to get to what is it that's the big umbrella? What is it that we can provide that can help more and more people, that can be a blessing to more people? Amazing. And that's really where we went into customer experience and the patient experience.
You know, it's funny when an expert is being powerfully called into the next layer of delivery, to me, that's just pure business, right? That's the best reason that a person could have to start something new. And we have this whole concept of serial entrepreneurs, and you know, they're starting all these different businesses. But I really feel from your perspective that what you did was a concentrated effort in a master plan. And so I think that's really interesting for people to see that you can be very strategic and you can be very purposeful about, you know, getting involved in some of these startups or new launches that are addressing issues that are coming into big time brick and mortar, like very, very senior tenured businesses like pharmaceutical and healthcare.
Exactly. And what happens, Donna, is that I really got to pinpoint and target the folks that were important to me. Obviously, patient experience massively important for the patient, for the caregivers, for the people who take care of them, but also inside pharma, right? The C-suite, the CEOs, the CMOs, right? The people who are the center of excellence leaders, the leaders of digital, the leaders of omnichannel, the leaders of AI. We can get to that later, right? That's going to happen. It's going to be big. The leaders of all analytics, all these different areas. And then you have the brand marketing folks. And then you have these brand marketing leaders that are saying, wait a minute, we need to just get to that next level. And you have sales, right? And you have procurement and supplier diversity leaders. So I was like, wow, each of these different areas have what I call these massive problems. And how do we look at the massive problems from an unbiased perspective and see what we can do to improve on that, to come up with the solutions? And the other aha moment too is that, hey, you know what? I, Vlad Castillo, may not be able to be helpful in every single aspect. That's an impossibility, but I can provide and connect. I can truly connect because you know this very well, Donna. You get to meet different folks and you get to meet different suppliers and different people who are experts in their fields. And what happens is, wow, I mean, this person, it's like, you know, you meet someone and they have an electrical problem. Well, I know an electrician. This is the best electrician in the area. So let me connect you to that electrician. So that connectivity, that connection was the other aspect of it too. So not only understanding patients, not only understanding the folks inside pharma and inside industry, right? Because it's not just pharma, it's across the board.
Exactly.
Financial services, all these other areas that are highly regulated industries, but also what can we do to connect and to improve to get them to that next level?
And I couldn't agree more. And I believe that when you are going through the list of stakeholders in healthcare, in pharmaceutical marketing, and we talked about, you've got the payers, you've got procurement, you've got the brand marketers, you mentioned the executive team, the CEOs. And I feel like that's a really important place to start because it is a tenured industry and things have been done a certain way for a very long time. And they're done in a way that will help them remain compliant with all of the regulatory, highly regulated industries. How do we break into that C-suite to help them see that they do need to make adjustments? And you've done that with customer and patient experience, but the question is, did you have to start at the top? Did you have to make a business case that said, if we don't do this, we'll lose market share, or if we do this, we'll be able to increase the bottom line? How did that work?
Great question. Anyone who truly sees, who looks at the mirror and sees for that particular organization, there's two things that they can see. For that particular organization, they may have mediocre customer experience happening. They may just go in, punch out, and have that situation going, really stagnant and slow growth, speed to market issues, things like that. But also from a personal side, right? People want to be recognized. People want to be drivers of the industry. People want to drive superior customer experience. And the biggest thing here is that we know for a fact that superior customer experience or improving customer experience is going to improve the bottom line results. So whoever looked at themselves in the mirror, whether it's a brand marketing manager, whether it's a payer access person, right? A payer or market access person, whether it's an analytics person, whether it's a CEO, anyone who's able to recognize, you know, guess what? We need to get going here. I have this word in Spanish called pilas, P-I-L-A-S. I always call it. I always say it's pilas. If you look for pilas in the dictionary for the words in Spanish, it's going to say battery. But that's not what I mean by that. It's not what I mean by that. Pilas is sort of like a street connotation of going beyond what needs to be done. There's a wall here. I'm going to break through that wall to get this done, no matter what. And if it takes me to work past my 8 hours and over the weekend and do nights and miss a couple of meetings, I will get this done no matter what, right? So that's pilas. Pilas is something that we look for in individuals, self-motivation. You can't exactly. teach pilas. You can't exactly. teach it, right? So that's what we look for that person who looks at themselves in the mirror. That person has pilas. And that's the person we're going to be speaking to. And yes, if it takes to drive the business case, we will do that. To develop a business plan, we will do that, because it's a simple concept. It's a simple story. And all it takes is pilas.
That's a great explanation, Vlad. And it definitely aligns with the entrepreneurial spirit that you possess and demonstrate in, you know, all of the upgrades that you've made in your career trajectory to try to focus on really what's going to make a difference for the customer and the patient. And I just want to be super clear here that in this respect, the customer is really the healthcare provider, the physician, and all of the care team that yes. actually has to sort of change their whole structure to be able to deliver in new ways and focus in new ways, right? So they've been doing things the same way for a long time. And if you look at what happened during the pandemic, it was almost an emergency about face and adopting all these new processes. And it was really foisted and forced upon us because you couldn't make contact. You had to keep a social distance. Do you feel as though that helped advance customer and patient experience quicker than it would have?
Oh, it definitely did, Donna. Definitely. We would have conversations with folks before the pandemic, and I would hold up a phone and I would say, I'm very happy that you guys have a tremendous sales force. That's important, right? Having that one-on-one connection between the salesperson and the customer is fantastic, very important. And, you know, those sales wars that they call them, you know, let's get more salespeople to go out there. But I would hold up a phone and I would say, you know, why not make your sales folks digital marketers?
I love it.
Right? Why not make your organization the digital marketing company? Right. Because you're going to improve your connection and you're going to help your sales folks to be able to do that. And for the clients who heard us and listened to us, they were so much more prepared and did so very, very well when it comes to customer experience and patient experience exactly. when the pandemic hit and post-pandemic as well.
I think that's why it's so important to be on top of these technology trends, as difficult as they are to assimilate into these highly regulated industries. The point is that if you don't do it and someone else does, your competitor does, then you're going to be behind, running after playing catch up. And yes. I feel like because you started with analytics, which is really important to people that are responsible for the P&L, I feel like that would have facilitated the ease of the transition, because it's always got to be tied to a business case.
Yes, absolutely. And it starts with analytics and it ends with analytics, right? It's that loop, to your point, Donna. And for me, it was really important to have people truly understand. Remember, we talked about education.
Right.
We really, truly needed to educate folks that, hey, there are multiple channels and there are multiple ways in order for us to get the message out. And that message is not the same message. It's the message depends on the educational continuum that customer is at, right? If they are in point D, they're going to need to go to point E. We're not going to give them point A to point B, right? It's different. Everything is different, and everybody has Amazon, and everybody has all of these different tools in front of them.
Right.
And it's becoming more and more for that individual, their different perspective and the things that they want to do. And we need to be able to provide that.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, some customers still want to see a sales rep, and that's perfectly fine. That's great. Now let's give all the tools to that sales representative to take that next level. Other folks just want to be able to do web conferences or emails or SMS text messaging or a combination of all of that, right? We just need to be able to provide that accordingly.
Well, I think that's a good segue into the patient experience. If we look at generational differences with customers coming into the mix now, patients, caregivers that have had access to all these tools for other areas that aren't so highly regulated, there's really an expectation that they have of being able to use their handheld device and go out on the internet and look up information about their disease state. These informed patients and their caregivers, to me, are that next layer. So once you really get your education thoroughly completed with the customer who is the HCP and the care team, what's that next layer look like to make sure that the patient and their caregivers are getting the same education, or the education is out there for the care team to give them that patient experience that they so much desire and expect at this point?
It's about convenience. It's about let's make things simple. It's about let's make things appropriate for that individual, for that person, for that patient, for that caregiver. And in order to do that, you truly need to understand your audience, right? From a brand perspective, you truly need to understand the patients and the caregivers and the history of them and what they've been going through. But being able to provide simple storyline, simple messaging, and as many channels as possible. I'm a big fan of expanding to as many channels as possible, because you never know which one or which two or which three of those channels are going to be analytically superior to others. You just don't know, right? It depends on that audience. It depends on what it is. So the patient experience is so important. It's so important that not only do you need to talk about efficacy, but you also need to talk about safety. And you need to do it in a way that's honest and sincere. And people will appreciate that. It's important for patients to know that. It's important for caregivers to know that. From an access perspective, from a patient access perspective, it's important as well. And again, market access, patient payer marketing as well. All of that is important, but that having the patient, getting that patient to a point where they can really speak to their doctor and have a conversation with that physician about their condition, can actually come up with a situation in which there's a solution, and the solution could be your brand. And having that, you just creating that conversation is key. Just having that, it may be that your brand may not be the answer, but you're expanding and you're increasing the probabilities that yes, it could be the answer. If you weren't there, they would never be having these conversations.
Exactly. And I think when you talked about having as many channels as possible, I think there's sort of a twofold concern about that. Number one, the quickness with which these channels are evolving, right? So it was Facebook, you know, then it was Instagram, then it was Twitter, and then it's TikTok. So the channels, like people are sort of riding the channels like a surfboard, you know, in the wave. And coupled with the regulatory experience, how in the world do we shepherd pharmaceutical and healthcare companies through, you know, this risk factors that they that they're seeing with all of these channels. It's all over the place.
Yes. So obviously, highly regulated industry like pharma, legal, medical, regulatory. I mean, it's so important. It really is important, and we want to be able to stay within label. We want to be able to stay within where what we need to, what are the items we need to stay in, and what are the items that we need to stay away from. So the content is across channels, right? You want to create content that can be leveraged across channels. So when you develop and you go through the content approval process, you literally do that with bite size or different types of parts that basically say the same thing, but say it in a way that's, this is for this channel, this is for that channel, this is for this channel, this is for that channel. It's the same story concept, same messaging, but across channels. And I think the our friends in legal, medical, regulatory are going to appreciate that, because you've thought about it earlier on than later on. Oh, I need to come back and, you know, we need to do something on YouTube, right? And that just, it's more costly, and it takes a lot more time that way. So prepping from the very beginning, which channels are the ones we're going to go for? Great. So now when we have our concept, our story concepts, our messaging, let's make sure that we have these created in a way that fit into these channels accordingly.
Right.
So yes, it's not going to be, what I meant, it's as many channels as possible. Mm-hmm. It's as many channels as possible for the organization, right? But for that particular brand, choose which channels are most important for that, for your audience. So thanks for that clarification, Donna.
I think that's the engineer in you. And that's what's so important is if you're at the start where you're going through compliance and you identify all the channels that are appropriate for that particular brand, then you have a clear path to execute.
Yes.
I think the elephant in the room, Vlad, is that now we have, I don't know if we would call AI a channel, but we have an opportunity to access big data and pull it down and compile it to help with diagnostics and all kinds of advances in healthcare. And yet the regulatory implications of it are deafening. What's your take on how we're going to be able to, you know, eat this elephant one bite at a time?
I love it. So here's my thought on AI for pharma, for biotech, for overall industries. You have to, like you said, you have to eat it one bite at a time. It's a big elephant, you got to eat it one bite at a time. And the way to do that is to do it internally,
Right.
No, don't just, like I was telling my parents the other day, my parents were like, oh, this is like scary, AI is scary. I'm like, no, let's go ahead and look at ChatGPT and let's try it, right? Because one thing, it's hearing about it. The other thing is actually experiencing it yourself.
Right.
So that's the message here for the industry. Experience it yourself and learn it and adapt it inside. So you may need to have, you may go a partner route that can help you, bring in a partner or partners that can help you, or you can bring in experts that can come in and make it a part of inside your company. You know, have an AI content department, have an AI department that can really provide that need. For I'll give you an example on subject lines for emails, right?
Right.
You could have your agencies come up with subject lines for these emails, and then you can have the AI department come up with subject lines, right? And then from an analytical perspective, test them out, do the testing control, right? That's just one example, but you see the point. The point is, you want to be able to mix and match with your agencies and your internal AI, or you can have your agencies do the AI as well, right? As long as you're taking that bite of the elephant inside your house, you want to be able to experience it. Whether you partner, whether you bring experts, whatever way you want to do it, you want to be able to experience AI. And that's the best way to do it, because now, you know, when you have these subject lines, whether it's humanly created subject lines for the emails and AI developed subject lines for the emails, they're going to go through legal, medical, regulatory, just like everything exactly. else. Right?
I think it's
prepping it from the very beginning.
I think it's a bit addictive, right? The iterative process, you know, we all get fall in love with this ChatGPT. It makes everything we're going to do so much easier. But then again, we come back to the business case, which is kind of where we started with the analytics. Right now, you know, many would say we're in a recession. Some of big pharma has gone through a round of layoffs. Money is tight. How do we build a brand new engine? Or, you know, first you have to spend money to make money. How do you think that's going to land for companies that are feeling the crunch right now, that they now need to invest in this new technology and figure out how to incorporate it into, you know, what they're already doing?
Just like the person who would take his horse every day and go around to different clients. And then you have this thing called cars that are now around, right?
Oh, this is not precious.
Horse and buggy, right? No horse and buggy. And, you know, I can literally say, you know what? I've had my horse and buggy for a long time. These car things, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I'm going to stick to my horse and buggy and that's it. No. Get a car, right? Experience the car, right? So for organizations and for people with PILAs, you're going to have to do some brainstorming. You're going to have to bring in your folks, your partners, your agency partners,
right,
your consulting partners, your internal stakeholders, not everyone, just some folks, to be able to really establish a plan for your organization. What does that plan look like? How is it going to look like in 1 year? How's it going to look like in 3 years? How's it going to look like in 5 years? We don't know, but we're going to try. That's the point, right? We're going to try and we're going to experience this and we're going to take this head on. So, yeah. So that's what I see. That's what I see in terms of organizations with PILAs. Organizations that are going to be successful here are going to be the ones that are going to take this head on. And you may need to connect. We talked about connectivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not good with as an electrician. I will hire my electrician to come in.
Right.
I need a plumber. I'm going to hire a plumber. I'm not going to get a handyman to do the plumber, to do the plumbing or the electrician, right? I'm going to get a plumber. I'm going to get an electrician, and we're going to get this done appropriately. So this type of situation, you need to educate. We talked about education in terms of the educational continuum, right? As an organization, where are we in AI? Are we in A, we need to go to B? Or are we in D, going to E? Or wow, you know, Y all the way in towards the end there? No, I doubt people are it towards the end. Everybody's probably in either A to B or B to C. But you want to make sure that if your competitors are in B, you want to be in C or D. You know what I mean by that, right?
Exactly.
You want to be ahead of the game. And yeah, it's an educational continuum within your organization. You want to improve that.
Without a doubt. You know, back in the day, there was this thing called scenario planning I was introduced to decades ago. And it was really about having the courage and creativity to reach out many, many years in advance and look at different possibilities that could come our way. And I think the only difference is today, you know, we look at your example of going from the horse to the horse and buggy to the, you know, the vehicle. It took time. People had time back then. And I think things are accelerated today. And it's very easy to get behind the competition, get behind, you know, where things are going, especially, you know, we're talking about the highly regulated industry, to use that as an excuse. And so I think that, as you said, it starts out with analytics and it moves forward to connectivity, getting to know the people who are in the know about it and doing some scenario planning with that group. It moves then to education, as you said, starting internally, starting small, falling in love with, you know, how to make some conveniences that, you know, it's still going to be regulated because it's the messaging that got approved. And then finally, you know, doing the test of nature. Do you have BLAS? And are you going to go for it?
Yes, that's right. Can I also tell you about a few stumbling blocks that can come along with this? Let's say the organization does want to move forward and does want to create is BLAS and does want to create these educational, move forward in the educational continuum to gain a better customer experience and patient experience. How do you do that? So the tendency for organizations is to go big, is to bring in a big organization, a big name vendor, right? Right. Or it could be a big name vendor and go wide across different areas. This big name vendor or big name vendors are going to come in. My challenge is to not do that. My challenge is to say, you know what? In this world, in this marketplace, you need fast, you need nimble, right? And for that, you need fast, you need nimble, and you need, instead of wide, you need deep expertise. The best solutions are smaller solutions. And I'm being honest about it because, you know, I see this happening all the time with these big name vendors who are slow. Instead, you can bring in a smaller agency, smaller consultancy, smaller situation where you bring in experts. And these smaller agencies can be fast, nimble, BLAS, right? They'll run through walls. They'll get things done faster. And so your budget, instead of the budget that you had for that bigger vendor, now you can do so much more with that budget because you're going smaller and you're going faster and you're going deeper, right? And that's a huge, huge difference. And again, I always have this conversation because, you know, everybody wants to say, hey, I work with this vendor. This is the big name vendor. Oh, great. You know, I'll give you the applause. I'll tap you in the back. That's great. But, you know, how much innovating are you doing?
Well, I think that's really the business case, right? We've come full circle because if all the budget's going to those expenses and the company doesn't see their way forward to be able to do some smaller, more agile programming, then they are going to miss that boat. And again, you know, with security concerns, data privacy and the like, there are going to be some organizations that just don't even want to go there, right? They're going to maybe try to push it to the side until obviously it's going to get to the point where the average person is going to expect this level of engagement. And so, you know, it's vast. It really is. I think, Vlad, having the opportunity to discuss all this with some of your depth and knowledge and expertise, it's just been an absolute pleasure for me. I could go on forever.
Same here.
Yes.
And I forgot to mention one other aspect, which is diversity, right? The diversity
exactly
inside the team and diversity with suppliers and vendors as well. You know, that's huge to gain that different perspective that you could be missing by going with that big vendor.
Exactly.
Going smaller, faster, more diverse.
Sustainable businesses, right? That are out there that are bringing those perspectives into play because our customer base is diverse. And again, these are all great things. There's just so much of it, right? And I think that people do need support and guidance at this time. What's the best way, Vlad, for our listeners to reach out to you for more information on some of these topics that we discussed today?
The best way is to connect with me on LinkedIn, Vladimir Castillo, or my email address is vcast@phase4digital, phase4digital.com. And just reach out in LinkedIn or through email and I will get back.
Right. And we can definitely put the contact information in our podcast notes to make it easier for people to just click in order, you know, to get to you. So I really appreciate this conversation and, you know, for being able to go where we need it to go to bring people up to speed and have them start to look at that big picture and scenario plan, if you will, knowing that there's a process that you have to go through, you know, to proceed safely, but proceed all the more, right? It's time Absolutely. To get going.
Yeah, right. No, and I appreciate it, Donna. This platform that you have here with the podcast is tremendous. The insights that you bring about every time, every single time it's really, you know, we talked about the educational continuum. I mean, your podcast, your platform is key to that. So kudos to you and the team for doing something like this and just moving forward to that right. next level. It's just it's just amazing. Great work.
You know, the host of the podcast, the sponsor of the podcast is Xavier Creative House, an agile healthcare marketing agency that went virtual from the get-go in 2013. And they pride themselves on innovating within their own organization and with their clients in pharmaceutical, medical device, and biotech. And I just believe that the only way for them to stay current is to be out there, like you said, talking with the experts, giving this information to their listeners, to their clients, to show that they're in the forefront of what's coming. And so for that, I do thank you for your participation today on the Evocative Exchange.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much.
This has been the Evocative Exchange that explores people and businesses that have that X factor that keeps you inspired and focused on what's possible.